2021. Tip. Hearing the motions, any discussion? Any in readiness? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries.
Okay, thank you.
Item three is the adoption of FY 2019 Unified Planning Work Program. And Ms. Wang will also be discussing this.
Yes, the Unified Planning Work Program is the MPO's staff's work program for the next fiscal year that covers July. It starts on July 1st, 2018 of this year and ends June 30th, and then next year. And it just details what, like, Mark, myself, Jane, and Stephanie will do for the next year, what kind of activities and how much money will be allocated to each task. We are covering two federal planning grants. One is the planning PL grant, and it comes to us through Federal Highway Administration via the Georgia Department of Transportation Planning Office, and then Section 5303 grants, and this is transit grant coming to us from the Federal Transit Administration and administered by the GDOT Intermodal Office. All of the federal dollars will require 20% local match, so the PL grant and the will get 20% local match, all from the MPO membership dues, including the in-kind match. And the 5303 funds, 10% will be paid by GDOT, and then another 10% will come from the MPO membership dues. And these funds can only be used for planning, so we cannot use them for like right-of-way acquisition or construction, so just to cover the staff activities. And if we haven't spent all the money, in the next fiscal year, we will have to give them back to GDOT so that they can just decide what to do with the money. This is the total funding that for the next year, about $591,000, and three-fourths of that coming from the PR grant, and then one-fourth is from the 5303 grant. And we know what we are going to do because we have to implement the FAST Act. Basically, it's like performance-based planning and programming. And then we know that we will still focus on the long-range transportation plan, TIP, congestion management process. Those are the core MPO functions that we have to do. But we know what we want to do, but FHWA has this format, so we have to allocate all of our money into this format, so divide the money into program support and administration, public involvement, data and collection system planning. But all of these program details actually fit into all of the like FAST Act implementation and then the infrastructure improvements. For example, the 2045 long-range transportation plan that Jane's going to be talking about will include like 2.1 community outreach and education, because we have to involve the public. And we have to make sure low-income and minority populations involved, so that's covered under environmental justice and Title VI. And the socioeconomic data she's going to talk about that fits into the long-range transportation plan, traffic impact, land use monitoring. That's basically providing the connection between transportation planning and land use, and congestion management process, and transit paratransit planning, bicycle-pedestrian planning, model development of freight planning, all fit into that long-range transportation plan. But this is the format that FHWA wants us to do, so that's why we have to divide our priorities into all these specific programs. And this is basically how we allocate that $591,000 into each work program, each work task. So basically, for example, the long-range transportation plan, we have about $175,000, so about a quarter or more than a quarter of our funds will be allocated to long-range transportation plan. As I mentioned, if we haven't spent the money, the money will be rolled back to GDOT. In the previous years, GDOT used that all rolled back money from all the other MPOs, and they decided that they have this money, they want to do the call for projects, call for studies. So that's why we have two studies that got awarded. Mark will talk about those.
What are those?
While you're at this point, why don't you explain the linkage between the projects being included in the UPWP and those awards, those competitive awards? Because the time for an award in the fall would be actually this UPWP that we're talking about today.
Yes. So basically, if we want to have this UPWP include any studies to be approved, basically the local municipalities have to come to us like October or November of last year so that we can include that studies into the UPWP, and that will pave our way for our application for the discretionary funds. Since we haven't received any special studies, but we still have another chance, because application for the next round of call for special studies will be done in September. So now we are asking the local municipalities, if you have a special studies you want to do, come to us now so that we can probably do amendments to the UPWP, and then this board will adopt that resolution, and then we will submit our application in September. But this is the time, because FHWA requires to have at least two rounds of discussions about the studies before we submit any application.
Right. Right. So in short, even though we're having a meeting next month to allocate funds, the time for we're now in the time frame of planning for September for new studies and projects, basically, just because of all of the steps that we have to go through.
Yes. So if you have some kind of studies you want us to do, just let us know and talk to us as soon as possible. So for the current UPWP wouldn't include any discretionary funds yet, because we haven't just submitted any applications yet. But last year's UPWP actually includes two studies. One is the I-16 at Litchneck Road study. The county is the project sponsor. And then Savannah Airport Commission sponsored I-95 at Airways Avenue studies. So Mark will update you on those two. Our participation plan requires that UPWP development goes through all of the advisory committee process and appeal board process. And before that, we have to give FHWA, FTA, and GDOT at least 30 days for public for comments. So we need to receive their comments. The draft that you see now includes all of the comments and our responses. So hopefully we are requesting that you approve or adopt this UPWP, and then we will forward it to GDOT and FHWA for final approval, and then GDOT will prepare the contract. So hopefully by July 1st we will have the contract, so that will cover our staff activities. Staff recommendation is just to for this board to approve the UPWP and also authorize us to do administrative modifications as necessary. That's it. Any questions?
Any questions, Ms.
Okay, quick time. Thank you. Special studies in 4.13. I appreciate you listing those in there for those two interchange studies.
Okay.
Can you make sure, I didn't have a chance to find in there, that it's noted that those are not from your regular formula PL funds? Does that make sense?
The money is separated in the document, I'm pretty sure.
Just to make sure, as I look on that one spreadsheet.
I think in the financial table.
And it shows it as a formula PL fund.
It's formula PL funds to cover the staff oversight. Because the discretionary funds will be actually implemented this year in fiscal 2018, so it wouldn't be re-awarded in fiscal 2019.
I understand.
So basically, because the study will be, it is expected to be completed by December, so basically July, August, September, October, November, and December, staff is still going to work with the consultants. So that basically covers the staff oversight.
Okay, and I just didn't see it. So it says oversight in there, because I didn't.
Yeah, it's on the oversight. Yeah.
And it says that.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's for the oversight.
Great.
Because the discretionary funds is covered in fiscal 2018 fund.
Thank you. Yeah.
Any additional questions? Did I get your answer, Tom?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. If no additional questions, we do need to adopt this, so I do need a motion.
Mm-hmm. Second.
Properly moved and second. Any discussion? Any readiness? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion indicate by saying yes.
Yes.
And opposed, no. Motion carries. In other business, we've got a couple of requests for studies that Mark mentioned earlier. I'm a request. The first is the traffic study of I-95 and Airways. And Mark will talk about this.
Yes, actually, if it's acceptable to the board.
That's item four, and then while he's up, you can also talk about item five.
Yes, and if it's all right, I would prefer just to discuss the two at the same time since we're...
Okay, and that's traffic study, I-16, Little Neck Road.
Right, we're doing both procurements at the same time, and they're very similar studies. So in the interest of time, we can look at it that way.
Slides here. As Wycota mentioned, I think it's been mentioned two times already, these are special studies that were initially approved by this board, I believe, in March of last year. We didn't quite make the March meeting, however, for the PL Funds Review Committee. So they were approved by that committee in late September. We are currently in the procurement process of recruiting a consultant. The two studies are the I-95 Airways Avenue interchange and the I-16 Little Neck Road interchange. We set up selection committees, consultant selection committees for each study. These are the members on I-95 and Airways. We have William Easton, Byron Coward of GDOT. We have Pamela Bernard of the county. We have Matt Saxon, City of Pooler. George Fidler with the airport, of course. The airport is sponsoring that project, and myself. For I-16 Little Neck, almost the same committee, a few changes. Nathaniel Panther, Chatham County, is on that committee. George Fidler is not on that committee. Otherwise, the makeup is about the same. So since the award, we have received a letter of notification from GDOT acknowledging the project, setting up the PI numbers for the projects. We have received two drafts of the funding contract. We have executed that here on our end and sent that back to GDOT, so they're currently executing the funding contract. Since December, we've been reviewing the RFP and the preliminary project scope with the project sponsors and with the TCC. We came to agreement on those. And that brings us to the next slide. The RFP was posted January 11th. Also, let's see, February 9th, we received six proposals, three for each project. They actually are the same consultant teams, which isn't surprising. We met on February 22nd to review the consultant selection process with the TCC. The yellow line here today on the 28th, this is our briefing with you, the Coordinator Board. We will be holding interviews with consultant teams here tomorrow. I believe I-95 Airways Avenue in the morning, the I-16 study in the afternoon. By March 5th, we hope to be able to notify the top-ranked consultant teams and begin negotiations of the contracts. March 13th is our target date to get the Metropolitan Planning Commission to authorize the executive director to execute the contract. And then if all goes well, we'll have notice to proceed by March 23rd, which is an administrative deadline set by the whole process, whereby we're asked to begin work within 6 months of the project award. And we will do our best to meet that. If we'll either be very close or we'll be under contract at that point. We'll get as close as we can. I say that simply because we'll have to move faster than I think I've seen us move on any other contract to get there. But right now we have a schedule that, at least on paper, works, and we'll do the best we can. And that is my status report.
Okay. Any questions? Status report, draft goals for the 2045 Metropolitan Transportation Plan, and Jane Mudd will talk about this.
So we are beginning the development of our 2045 Metropolitan Transportation Plan, which is our long-range transportation plan. We have already begun working on the model for predicting demand on the network for the base year 2015 and the future year 2045. The technical coordinating committee has worked with GDOT and MPO staff on that process. But what we're talking about now are some draft goals. And we're asking all of the committees to give us input and feedback on these. These goals are important because these will determine how we measure the effectiveness of the projects in the plan. In the past, our goals have been based on federal planning factors. The federal planning factors have increased over the years. Now there's 10 or 11 of them, depending on whether you split up a couple that were mentioned and ones to get together in the legislation. What we're trying to do now is consolidate some of those so that there's fewer goals, which is a little bit easier to digest for the public. And some of these adjectives don't have to be all a separate goal, is what we feel. So goal number one, a safe, secure, and resilient transportation system. Number two, an efficient, reliable, multimodal transportation system that supports economic competitiveness and enhances tourism. Tourism is one of the new factors in the recent legislation. And of course, goal three is the basic expectation of access and mobility equitably and reliably available for people and for freight through a range of travel options and an integrated connected transportation system. Goal four, a clean, healthy, and attractive natural and built environment through integration with land use and consideration of transportation impacts, including that of stormwater. So this is kind of like your quality of life, environmental factors. Stormwater was a new one from the FAST Act. Goal five, wise use of public funds through coordination, preservation of a state of good repair, and a performance-based planning process. Performance-based planning is very important right now, and that kind of applies to all of the goals, but we are calling it out, especially with the wise use of public funds, as well as the state of good repair is about, you know, your maintenance and your system preservation, making best use of what you've got before you build more stuff to maintain. So these are the five goals we're proposing right now, and another source for these was basic national planning goals in the legislation, which includes safety, infrastructure condition, congestion reduction, system reliability, freight movement and economic vitality, environmental sustainability, and reduced project delivery delays. So if you have comments on these today, or if you want to send me those later, feel free to do that. We'll be coming back to the committees with final goals during the plan development process.
Any questions? Thank you. Next, we have the informational report. And we're going to start with you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll go over the projects on the GDOT handout. First project, Ogeechee Road. Right away acquisition has begun. Appraisals are being released for negotiations. Project two, the Effingham Parkway. Preliminary plans are nearly complete. Appraisals are being prepared for right-of-way negotiations. Project 3 is US 80 from Johnny Mercer to old US 80. Constructability review is upcoming. Environmental is ongoing. Project 4 is a Brampton Road connector. Preliminary designs ongoing and responses from the value engineering study have been approved. The two I-16 widening and the I-95 interchange projects. Design build plan review has been held. Environmental work is ongoing. State Route 144 widening. Final plans have been submitted. And 25 at Pipemakers Canal. Right-of-way plans have been submitted for approval. On the active construction projects, 204 King George, mainline traffic, or eastbound, westbound traffic's on the mainline. Contractor's still doing some shoulder work. A closing conference was held earlier this month. Project 2 is a widening on West Bay Street. Traffic's been shifted and Stage 2 construction's ongoing. Project 3 is the Grange Road widening. Traffic's been shifted to the new roadway. Stage 2 concrete paving's about 70% complete. Project 7 is the two Jimmy Deloach projects. Contractor has started the clearing and grubbing throughout the project. Project 8's Islands Expressway Bridge. Pre-con was held earlier this month. A conditional notice to proceed was issued. Project 9 is the resurfacing on Brampton Road. Pre-con was held earlier this month and work is scheduled to begin this spring. And the last two projects have recently let and the schedule's upcoming on them. The resurfacing and shoulder rehab on 80 from Bull River to Lazaretto and resurfacing on 204 Spur, which is Diamond Causeway. So I'll have updated schedule on those next time. So I have any questions?
Got one question. We have one here.
I know at our board meeting this week or right after, county commissioners are receiving complaints or questions about sound walls. 204, that the sound wall, according to the calls, now we're beginning to get calls in the office, that it did not extend far enough and there's some multifamily housing where they're very close, so we're getting that complaint. And I can't speak for the city, but on I-16, now, I mean, it looks great. You can see things, and, you know, I'm not fearful driving, you know, west on 16. Now I can see. But as it cleared towards the city of Savannah, a couple neighborhoods, I know we're getting from commissioners and now from one of the aldermen who called me, you know, that what's going to happen because of the noise.
Right.
What do we need to do, city, county, to request at least a noise study or noise attenuation study or something? I don't know how to handle
right. The vegetation removal projects. We've had several complaints about the noise, yeah. But there's pretty much, you know, there's not much we can do. We can't go put noise barrier walls along the whole corridor.
No.
I know a letter was submitted. I don't know if it was to y'all. I know there were some complaints on the 95 clearing. And we have reevaluated, you know, the limits to what we removed, the, you know, trees and undergrowth. But, yeah, pretty much I wouldn't foresee a noise wall going on 16 just due to the reclamation of the right-of-way.
So you have some, you know, letters or reports or something you could send to us. At least I can have something to report back on 16, but on 204, if that could be looked at that, and I
right.
think it's not very
so the Forest Cove residents along there.
Yes.
Okay.
The area he's talking about on 16 is really the Caldwell Village area,
yes.
And the Cloverdale area.
Yeah.
Those two communities are where the complaints are coming from.
Okay.
And if you're not familiar with it, Caldwell Village is after you get on that on ramp from Gwinnett Street. On ramp to 16 to your
mm-hmm.
right.
Okay.
That's the area that's complaining. And then if you continue down 16, the area that would be to the right on the eastbound lane is what referred to as the Cloverdale area.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And those are the areas where the tree buffer, I think, was breaking, serving as a noise breaker for it. And now that the trees are gone.
I know the 204 project, I know noise studies were done, you know, years ago to determine the length and height and all that for the wall.
We could just get some information, at least I've got the board members or something.
But I think what Mr. Smith is asking for was consideration of a noise study in those two areas to see if it would warrant something. And then if it would warrant something, we'd have to stop the process of how you would fund it and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Because there are some, if I understand from at least one of the county commissioners, that I guess if you're heading west and the neighborhoods there, there's actually some historic areas that are impacted. So, you know, they say they're going to bring that up. I don't know how that would be addressed or.
It's on Carver Village area is a historic designated neighborhood.
Yeah.
Both of those areas are within the city of Savannah.
Yes.
But those county commissioners represent those areas.
I will check on that.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Anything else?
Any other questions from GDOT?
All right. Thank you.
Chatham County.
Hopefully you've got the handout. I won't go through all of it, but there's a couple of new ones on there. I did want to mention on Quaco Road that project has been split into two. There's going to be the intersection improvement there at 17, and that'll take place first, and then the widening from 17 to 95 will be a separate project, just so we can start on the one while we're still working on right away for the other. State Route 21 at Pipemakers Canal, that project is going to add two box culverts to the existing four culverts that are there under State Route 21 at Pipemakers Canal. That's to add capacity to the canal, and preliminary engineering is underway for that one. Little Neck Road, we just finished preliminary plans for that. So that's going to reconstruct Little Neck Road between US 17 and 95. Including some improvements at the intersection of 17, and also it'll have a pedestrian path. Johnny Mercer Corridor improvements, that project will upgrade and interconnect all the traffic signals that are through there, and it also resurface the road. So that one is also in preliminary engineering. Have any questions about any of these?
Any questions?
Thank you.
Anybody here from Effingham County? City of Savannah. Richmond Hill.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We have a new mayor, Mr. Russ Carpenter. For those of you who haven't met Russ, he was on city council for 8 years, long-time Richmond Hill resident. Unfortunately, due to his day job, which is a school teacher, he won't be able to attend these meetings. He's designated myself, Scott Allison, assistant city manager, or our city manager, Chris Lovett, to attend in his absence. So finally got called up to the big leagues, I guess.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Through the TIF amendment that was approved tonight or today, obviously we're very excited and appreciate everyone's efforts on the 144 widening project. As I mentioned, it is ready. So that's a shovel-ready project, and I'm glad that it was put back on the TIF. Our mayor and council are as well. And also, for those of you who don't know, the new interchange exit 82 is scheduled to be let sometime late spring as well. So we'll have a lot of construction going on in South Bryan County and Richmond Hill over the next 24 to 30 months. That's all I have.
Okay. Anyone from Pula? Garden City.
Yes, as we talked about in December, Chatham Parkway is basically finished and traffic flow is restored at the end of January, so that was a big help on some of the congestion in the area, so we were glad to get that to that stage of completion, and we've started some preliminary coordination and planning work with DOT Jessup on the future Groves complex there on Highway 21 and how we're going to realign some of the roads in there and improve some of the pedestrian access across the highway more safely for the kids to get across. That's it for us.
Anyone from Portland Worker? Right, Tyvee Howard?
Just gearing up for the season. We had a busy weekend this weekend and anxiously awaiting the schedule from GDOT on your repaving schedule for Highway 80 this summer. And a telephone number if GDOT can send a complaint to. but that's it.
Bloomingdale. How about Thunderbolt? Running Bird? Chatham Area Transit Authority?
Good morning. As you might recall, last year CAT and Core MPO partnered to purchase some local travel data from AirSage. Core staff needed this data to update their congestion management process, while we at CAT needed the data to develop an origin destination study to help us better understand whether our transit routes aligned with local travel patterns. The origin destination study revealed that in many instances they did not, and this was supported by many years of declining transit ridership in the community. In response to this, yesterday the CAT board unanimously approved a contract to hire one of the nation's premier transit consulting agencies to assist us with community engagement efforts and ultimately help us redesign our transit network to meet the current needs of the community. Over the course of the next 12 to 18 months, we will be working very closely with the consultant to collect input from the public, develop service scenarios, and prepare a final plan to be implemented in late 2019. We plan on keeping the MPO board updated throughout the process, and I believe we're going to try to schedule a presentation with you all at an upcoming MPO board meeting, so just stay tuned. I'd be happy to take any questions if you have any.
Georgia Ports Authority. This is an airport.
Yeah, as I reported in December, we are tearing down the old terminal, which is where the FIS facility was that clears international flights coming in here, so we reported last December we have awarded a contract to construct a new international arrivals facility over next to the control tower and the new terminal. And it's a hybrid facility. It will clear both the business jets that come in here and the international jets. And we're now an international airport again. We have scheduled commercial service to Canada. We're looking for others, but all that to say that construction actually has started. You can see it next time you come out there. That will be finished up in December, and we'll be starting operating, well, sort of operating out of there. Customs people will be located there. They're still in downtown at the ports, but they come out to the airport to clear the international flights that we get. They'll now have a new facility to operate out of. That is an arrivals facility because we only have to clear people coming into the country. You can fly out of our existing terminal to go anywhere. But we've got all that worked out, so that we'll be cranking that up first next year. Otherwise, we have a ramp expansion going on so we can park more planes overnight six more parking positions. We're designing another security checkpoint lane. We're designing four more gates to our terminal because growth, as you probably know, has been pretty robust out there. So we're very busy.
Any questions? Okay. Hinesville.
Good morning. My name is Nils Gustafson. I am staff for HAMPO in Hinesville. This meeting today almost mirrors what we're doing on a day-to-day basis. The exception is you receive about three times more in planning funds, and you probably receive 20 times more construction funds. And we understand that. You guys got to deal with 16, you have to deal with the Port of Savannah. But you guys have an awful lot going on. I'm pretty proud of you guys going forward with that and keeping this economic engine going. Other than that, we're doing pretty much exactly what you're doing here on a daily basis.
And then the Low Country.
Same as usual, sort of brief update. The US 17 widening will be underway sometime later this year. I know it was supposed to start in the spring, but as you know, with major projects involving major environmental issues, things do get slowed down. And GDOT and SCDOT have negotiated their cost sharing on the additional bridge over the Back River. And as you're probably aware, GDOT will be making some changes to US 17 and the bridge approach to make sure that it's four lanes and both, two and two and two and two. So that's coming up. We're in the process now of, we also have engaged with LRTA Palmetto Breeze, a foremost, I don't know if it's the same firm, transit planning firm. And they're also doing a transportation needs study, including surveys. And it might be kind of interesting and useful to compare because there probably will be some need addressed about going between the two states, the two systems. So we might want to compare notes at some point on that to make sure that things are being incorporated. And it's interesting to note SCDOT has a huge emphasis on the performance measures, and you all are apparently not being pushed the same way we are. We've had to build that in as every MPO has had to adopt a whole new amendment to our LRTPs with goals and objectives for safety and so on. So that may be coming, but we've already, we've had to do that. Other than that, things are just sort of keeping on. Safety issues, have become a real concern in South Carolina because we are number one for highway deaths. And that has gotten people's attention.
Any questions?
There's a load coming in.
Any public comments? Hearing none, that first announcement, the next court meeting will be April 25th, 10 o'clock, in this room. I don't have any other non-agenda items. And the 2045 MTP model development data for base year and future years are attached for information. Is there anything else come before?
Mr. Chair.
there was, I think, engineering, our engineering department this morning said that GDOT is owed close to $1 billion from the federal government. And that being the case, is it slowing down projects? Or I know those are reimbursements, but by the way.
We've been fronting a lot of that.
Okay.
With the what I call the House Bill 170 money that the legislature gave us a couple years ago. So we're kind of in a, we're still delivering stuff, but we're getting real close to running out of front stuff. Because all the federal money is always reimbursable. Sure. It's always been this way, but yeah, what's going on? If you, you know, we're getting, we don't still have a full year preparation from Congress. So
is that a lag time, Tom? And so what is it?
I don't know. There's a normal lag in just getting stuff back from them. Usually they're pretty good at turning stuff around. I don't have those numbers, but the essence of what you're saying is it's good. We're blessed to have the state money. Yeah. Some other states are just shutting their programs down because they just are just hurting. So, sorry.
This is not a criticism so much, but the way the federal government works, if you all may have noticed, we were just reimbursed a final payment from FEMA last week for the debris cleanup of Matthew. Which was the 2016 hurricane. So there's usually anywhere from 90 days to 18 months lag, depending on what the project and all that.
We're not that bad. That helps you.
See, I knew you were going to say yes.
I mean, I'm still getting paid, so I love y'all, but I don't do this for free. But anyway.
but there is a lag time due to the process. And a lot of it really is to try to address the issue of fraud as well. So you've got to really do your due diligence when you submit.
I'll add too, if you want to. I saw the governor's budget proposing $100 million bond money for bridge replacement. So again, we'll take. There's the legislature's working with us to again, the budget goes through with that. And there's another place where kind of stretch up front some money to get stuff done. So we just get stuff done. Then try to go after the money later, but we don't want our program shut down. I don't think anybody does. So,
yeah.
Thanks.
Any member have any comments? If not, staff has any further comments?
No.
If not, then we stand adjourned.